And then it occurred to me, what luck.
Okay.
I swore a solemn vow.
Years ago, I was invited to a party.
Wednesday night, the gong tells you that it's time for stories from Ex Fabula. On this Wednesday evening, October 22nd, I'm Bruce Winter, and Ex Fabula's first show of the season is tonight. The first story slam is this evening. So I guess the secret is going to be out of the bag that tonight's show is recorded.
Well, actually, Bruce, not to shock you or anything, but through the power of quantum physics, I'm actually able to be on stage at the Time Cinema emceeing and here in the radio booth with you right now.
So is this the real you or a hologram you?
This is bizarro, Leah. Nice to meet you.
Indeed. Yes. We have our regular stories from Ex Fabula tonight. And being in the midst of October, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and our stories tonight tie into that, do they not?
Yeah, they do. It's a really wonderful thing to create awareness for breast cancer, and it's really important to get screened. So we wanted to put up a couple stories relating to breasts, just as a little bit of a reminder, some a little bit lighter, and another story that's a little bit more heavy and about a person's survival through her episode of cancer. Mm-hmm.
All right, what's up first? The funny one or the heavy one?
Which do you want? We're going to start a little bit lighter here. This particular story is a duo, and I know we've talked about duos before. I love them. It's when two people get up on stage. They both shared a certain experience relating to the theme of that night, which in this case, it was foolproof. And these two ladies, Carrie Grote and Amy Wilborn, told a story about going into getting bra fittings. So here we go.
So about 3 years ago, I was thrust back into the single world in one swift kick when my husband left. And of course, following that would be dating, which I did head over heels, of course, because first person you meet, it feels great. And we had this whirlwind romance for about 2 months, and there was this shadowy figure in the background called his ex-wife. Who I knew worked in a lingerie store and did bra fittings, and I thought, oh, whatever. So recently,
Amy and I and a couple of other girlfriends decided that the girls needed a new fitting. I'm currently on a job hiatus. I said, oh, I have lots of time. I'll stop eating bonbons. I'll schedule the bra fitting. It'll be great. So we talked about an establishment that we knew of, north of downtown, and I said, I'll call, no problem. So I get on the phone and get online first, and I realize, oh, wait, there's a different location. This is closer. This is more convenient. This will be great. I call. Woman answers. Her name's Sarah. I'm like, hi, I have three friends. We want to come in. We want to get bra fittings. Wonderful. That sounds wonderful. Here's your time. Great. We'll be there. Click. Get online, text all of them, ladies, bra fitting is scheduled. But even better, we're doing it at a different location. It's more convenient. We'll all be able to get there sooner. Isn't that great?
And so I read the email and I see the name Sarah. And this rings a little bell with me. Sarah the bra fitter. And I say to my friend in the text, OMG, I know Sarah. Not really, but I dated this man several years ago, and yeah, so he's felt my breasts. And I'm going to have to go to this fitting and say, hi, Sarah, your ex-husband felt my breasts. So we came up with a plan.
It was going to be a foolproof plan. I said, no problem. We've got this. I'll get there first. Sarah knows me from our phone conversation. I'll get there first, introduce myself, tell Sarah, you know, I would love for you to fit me. That would be great. And then my friends will, you know, come in later. So Amy will come in after me. We'll avoid Sarah and her breasts in the same room. It'll all be fantastic. We've got this covered. So I get there first, which rarely happens. But I get there first.
Never happens.
I get there first. I introduce myself to Sarah. She's very welcoming. She's very kind. I said, my friends are, you know, on their way. I'm here first. You know, whenever you're ready, we can get started. She's like, great. So Amy's texting me, are you there yet? I'm like, I'm here. It's all good. We're all good. Sarah says, I'll just finish helping this person and I'll be right with you. Perfect. Amy shows up. Sarah introduces herself. And eventually, Sarah says, are you ready, Carrie? I'm like, yeah, let's do this thing. So Sarah and I go off to our dressing room, and 10 feet away, I hear a woman, you know, say to Amy, I'll take you in here. We can use this dressing room, and the fittings proceed.
So I had this woman doing a fitting. She brought in several lovely bras and tried them on, and I thought, you know, this is all good. Sarah's out there. I'm in here. I'm safe. Next thing you know, on the dressing room door, she says, I'm sorry, excuse me, but I can't remember her name. We'll say Betty was fitting me. Betty is new, and I'm the manager, Sarah, and I would like to check all of the fittings today. So I'm thinking, awesome.
So I'm 10 feet away in my dressing room, and Sarah's been going in and out a lot because unbeknownst to any of us, Betty is, you know, new, so Sarah's helping her out. So I'm hearing this all before Sarah knocks, and I'm hearing her say to Betty, well, I'm going to need to check all those fittings. And I realize what's about to happen. And I'm like, oh, no. Sarah and Amy's breasts are going to be in the same room together. This is what we've been trying to avoid the whole time. The plan is going to go all wrong. So we have a little group chat, the four of us, girlfriends. So I immediately grab my cell phone and I say, noted, Sarah is entering your dressing room now. Having no idea if Amy's going to see this or not, but I'm thinking this is not going to go well.
So I'm not checking my text at all because I'm thinking, here is Sarah in my room. She's checking the straps, she's checking the back, and she asked, do you mind if I just shift things around a little bit? Of course not. So Sarah comes in and out. She checks every bra I try on. She basically shifts it all around. She's wonderful, lovely. It all went great. I bought more money, spent more money there than I did at IKEA. I don't think she ever knew who I was. So on my way home, I was thinking to myself, I think I've sort of had a threesome.
And that was Carrie Grote and Amy Wilborn with their breast cancer awareness story, which happened at Foolproof, which was an event we had back in April 2014 at the Hot Water Warehouse.
Funny stuff. My goodness.
Yeah. Oh. Awkward.
Yes. Awkward is putting it mildly.
Yes.
It is Stories from Exfabula on Wednesday night. We do this every Wednesday at this time, right after the newscast at 9 o'clock. We bring you stories from past Exfabula shows. The first one of the new season is tonight. And if you're not at that one, well, there'll be more throughout the season that you can attend.
And on stage, Leah wanted to say that it's right around the time we're starting to wrap up the show. We're about to tally some votes. And I got to tell you, from what she said, the stories were amazing.
Well, you're in both places at once, so you can tell.
Exactly.
Second story for tonight. And yes. This one is a lot more serious.
It is. This is Leslie Biernat Prusek. She told a story of her epic journey through breast cancer, from surviving through breast cancer. A really powerful woman. She is an amazing storyteller. And this particular story was told at the Art Bar, which is our first event back in 2009, actually. So here is Leslie Biernat Prusek with her breast cancer survival story.
Hello. First of all, yes, I am really this tall. I do have heels on. You know, I know you're probably all looking, because that's what usually people do, is they look at tall people, they look at our shoes. But I'm going to have a seat so I don't wreck your necks there. Okay, when I heard it was about beginnings, my story is going to be a little bit toned down from the other stories. I'm going to start off first, but I was born December 26, 1969. Okay, I'm giving up my age. Yes, I will be 40 this year. But my real birth started April 15th, 2003. And that's when I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. That's when I learned how to live. All my life, we try to figure out what's our purpose, what's your passion. You know, I was going around living life. I was married. I had two small boys. They were age 8 and 6 at the time. And now I'm faced with this diagnosis. But you know what? It changed my life completely. And I'm going to tell you how. I used to be a nurse in the ER, worked there for about 7 years. And then I decided, you know, I don't want another woman to have to face this disease alone. I want to be able to help them. I want to inspire them. I want to motivate them to be more than they can be. So I changed careers, and I became a breast care coordinator at St. Luke's, where every day I get to, I'm privileged and honored to meet with these women face to face, and I can tell them, I'm your future. This is what you can look like. This is what you can be. I've been through chemotherapy. I had 6 rounds of chemo, spent my whole summer that way. The first thing I thought of when I found my tumor, I'll tell you, it was 6.5 centimeters large. I found it in the shower. And with now all the new guidelines coming out, well, I was on FM 106 this morning radio. If any of you were up at 6:15 this morning, I was on there this morning giving my opinion on what I thought about those guidelines. I think they're ridiculous. I found my tumor, and I'm not even 40 yet. I'd be dead by the time I was 50. It was invasive cancer. It was in my lymph nodes. So chemotherapy came. I lost my hair. I don't look good bald. I'm tall. I'm very noticeable. I had to be a wig girl. I give credit for the women who don't wear, who can go without hair. I couldn't. I had a lumpectomy. I had 33 radiation treatments. I went back. I had a total mastectomy reconstruction. And a year after that, I had to have a total hysterectomy because I had changes in my uterus. So now I'm on medication that keeps me from not having any hormones in my body at all, and I've been on there for about 7 years. I tell women I don't look like a man, I don't sound like a man, everything works properly, so don't have that fear of that. Everything's okay. So what I did is now I'm doing this job and I'm working with people. Well, then I wanted to go a little farther, and I said, you know what, life's too short. I know how it is to, when people say smell the roses and stop and take your time and look at things, you know, I was truly blessed. God blessed me that day that I was given that diagnosis, because I was able to take life and just say, you know what, it is precious, and there are things that I want to do. There are goals and dreams that I have, and I can do them, and you can too. You may not have cancer, but what do you guys want to do? What have you always thought that you might want to achieve or try? Well, I'm type A personality, always been an athlete my whole life, so I said, you know what, I'll try some triathlons. Started doing the dance skin, you know, the nice friendly one for the breast cancer survivors. Did that my first year after diagnosis. And I go, that wasn't good enough. I said, I wanted to show them that you can have strength and power and you can achieve goals, even though I've had muscles cut in my lats. So I went and did in 2008, I completed the Ford Ironman triathlon in Madison. And it took me 15 hours and 40 minutes, but my goal was just to finish it. I talked along the way. I had my tri bike wrapped in pink ribbons and had survivor all of it. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I was already surviving. And this girl flies by me that's bald. And she's like, hey, rock on, I'm breast cancer too. She was in the middle of chemo. And I'm like, dang. All right, she's got me beat. I at least was done with that part of it. So finished that, got my little achievement, talked to everybody along the way. That's why it took me so long. I was just happy to survive and be able to walk and talk and breathe when I was done. Never ran a marathon in my life until that day. And then I finished that and I kept working. I go, what else do I want to do? Every year I set a goal and I set a challenge. And I challenge you all to do the same thing. It's kind of fun and people think you're crazy, but it gives you a purpose in life. So then I wanted to show them that there's beauty in scars. A lot of women are very self-conscious when they get breast cancer, they've had mastectomy. I mean, reconstruction options are great, and nobody can donate fat. Everybody wants to donate their fat to make a boob, and you can't do that. It's got to be your own. But people still try. There's tons of great plastic surgeons out there today. So I'm like, I'm going to show them there's beauty in the scars and strength. So I started training. I'm a personal trainer too. And so I started training for figure competition, which is above bikini but beyond gross, manly women, steroids. Okay, not that. All natural. I'm off season right now, so I'm a little plump right now. But I did a show in October. So that was my goal for 2009, was to compete. And you talk about dieting. I mean, that I should have wrote it, carb depleting, stay away from me, because you are not a happy person when you don't get carbs. I love my food. And believe me, I mean, I just had pizza. I just had a lot of pizza, and I'm going to pay for it. I'm doing another show in April. But that was my next goal, is to get up on stage in a tiny, tiny bikini in front of thousands of people and show them this is what you can do. You can achieve it, even with the scars. So my next goal, now everybody's like, what are you going to do for 2010? What's your next thing? Everybody's always asking me, and it's like, well, how do I outdo all these things? It's always been a dream of mine is to start my own foundation. And so that's what I'm going to do. And I've been wanting to do it for 3 or 4 years and just didn't know where to start. But God has placed a lot of people in my life right now, and he's telling me, you know, I like your inspirational stories and how you bring faith up. It's time. It's time for me to make a move. It's time for me to make a difference. And so I'm going to start a foundation called Renew, and it's going to be a place where women survivors can come and renew their mind, body, and spirit while remembering who they were before cancer, who they are now and through their journey, and who they can become. And it's based off the Bible verse Isaiah 40:31. And that's how I get renewed from. It says, those that hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not grow weary. Well, they shall soar on wings of eagles. They shall walk and not grow weary. They shall run and not grow faint. And that's what we as survivors do. We keep our hope. Never take their hope away from them. Never take your hope away from you. We have strength. There's power. We are together. You guys, what I ask you in closing tonight, you know, what are your dreams? You know, what are your inspirations? What do you want to do? And then I ask you, what are you waiting for? Do it today, because nobody is guaranteed tomorrow.
And that was Leslie Bjornet-Prusek with her breast cancer story.
You know, I still visit the cancer clinic on occasion. I have to get checked up every couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
But you see the people there, and it is at once depressing and uplifting. Depressing in the fact that there are that many people that are ill,
mm-hmm.
but uplifting in the fact that there are so many fighters
yeah,
that are willing to just, you know, take this thing on and go after it. And It is amazing, the willpower, the strength that these people have and what they go through to get rid of this disease.
It is a mind over matter situation.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like I said, it's depressing and inspiring at the same time. But being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, you know, the message, I guess we're just trying to remind people a little bit tonight of, mm-hmm. You know, do what needs to be done.
Exactly. Exactly. And for myself, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got an ex-fabulous show going on tonight in the near future. Perhaps we'll hear some of those stories on this very show, right?
Maybe. I don't know. Because next week, you know, Halloween's right around the corner. We might
That's
have a couple
right.
Halloween-related stories.
So we have to do scary stories next
yeah,
week.
On the 29th, it will be Halloween stories.
Sounds good. I look forward to seeing you next week.
Yes. And the real Leo will be back this time. So
it'll be the real you. I won't be able to just, like, you know, have this image of you sitting in the chair over there. Okay.
Exactly.
Right. See you then.
Hey, thank you.